Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, and as always, we are broadcasting from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites here in Sandy Springs, Georgia. As a reminder, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter at Business Radio X, and also you can follow today's show, Atlanta Business Radio, at Atlanta Biz Radio, Atlanta B-I-Z Radio. You can follow me personally as well, Ryan Redhawk, at Ryan Redhawk. All tweets, thoughts, and comments are welcome there. Although I may not respond to them all, please do engage with us on social media. And now it's my distinct pleasure to welcome a great group of guests to the Business Radio X flagship studio here today. First, let's introduce Linda and Sherry. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you this morning?
Fine. Good. Well. And you guys are with a company called?
I'm with Telesales.
Telesales. How long have you been around with that organization?
We started in 1998.
Okay, 1998. Yes. And Linda, what do you do for folks?
I'm a personal development coach and transformational thought specialist.
Nice.
And I help clients reach the happiness they're looking for.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a hard reach to go for sometimes.
That's right. It depends on what they're looking for.
And what is happiness? It could be different for each individual,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Well, we look forward to hearing more about that. So please be patient and stick with us. Also joining us here today in the studio is Patrick Lynch. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning.
Good. And what's your company?
I am the president of the Frontier Group, and we are a human capital management consulting firm.
Okay.
And we'll talk more about that.
Yeah. Human capital management consulting.
Yeah. A good teaser.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Because human capital is always in short supply these days.
Is.
And you're teaching people how to better access that human capital.
Exactly.
Good. We look forward to hearing all that in great detail. But let's now introduce our headliner here today, Kunbi Tenoye. How are you? You're with UrbanGeeks.com, right?
Yes, I certainly am. I'm the founder and CEO of a phenomenal website called UrbanGeeks.com, which is a digital news platform focused on business, science, and technology.
Digital news platform. There seems to be a lot of players out there doing this kind of thing. What was kind of the impetus behind you in UrbanGeeks.com?
Well, you know, my platform is very unique because it's a real niche platform. So, you know, the main focus is business, science, and technology, but there's also another niche side to it. There's also very much focus along the African-American, Latino, multicultural industry. So essentially, there's no one out there doing what I'm doing.
So serving the minority community through business and digital technology.
Absolutely.
Right. Yes. So have you always been an entrepreneur, or is this something that blossomed later on in life?
I've always been a journalist.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm a trained journalist, a BBC trained journalist. Prior to launching my site, I was actually the Southeast correspondent for NBC's digital news platform, The Griot. So I've always been a journalist. This is actually my first entrepreneur venture.
Yeah, let's walk our listeners back a little bit further into your background. So journalist is what you really went to school for and trained for and did that professionally over in England, right?
Absolutely, yes. I did my first degree at Cambridge University.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And then I did a postgraduate course at a college called Cardiff, which is the flagship graduate school in the UK.
Okay.
And from there, really, I spent a number of years at the BBC as a broadcast journalist at the BBC.
How was that experience?
Oh, it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal.
One of the world's premier news organizations.
Absolutely. And what's so great about working at the BBC is the training. I mean, you really get trained up to be, you know, I mean, in terms of your journalistic skills and how you put stories together and how you think about news.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was a phenomenal experience.
And how long did you spend there?
I was there for about 8 years.
Oh, wow. So a good amount of time.
Yeah.
And you got to explore a lot of different stories
and
meet different people in the industry as well.
Yes.
And then what eventually brought you to America?
Well, you know, it was funny. We came to America, and I say me and my husband, we came to America a couple of years ago, and we just came on a holiday.
Okay.
It was literally
vacation. Right?
Vacation. Fell in love with Atlanta.
Who doesn't love America, right?
I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, our friend had this huge home, and you know.
Where did you visit?
We visited Austell. Yeah, Austell.
Austell, Georgia.
Yeah, Austell, Georgia.
Of all the places, from London to Austell. How about that?
Yes, from London to Austell. And literally, my husband's friend lives there, and he had a, you know, phenomenal house, great lifestyle, great job. And really, from that visit, we just felt that we needed to leave.
Good.
So that was really how we transitioned.
And Atlanta had a lot to do with that, for sure.
Absolutely.
So you made it. Now you're home, Atlanta.
Yes, absolutely.
And how long have you been here?
So I've been in Atlanta for 5 years.
Nice. Nice. And so what are your thoughts of Atlanta now that you've been here?
Oh, I absolutely love Atlanta. I think it's a phenomenal place. There's a lot of, it's great lifestyle, good weather. There's also a lot of industry and commerce. Oh, and I think Atlanta's thriving when it comes to the entrepreneurship ecosystem as well.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what we like to feature here on Atlanta Business Radio is entrepreneurs like yourself who are really making the difference out there in the business ecosystem in Atlanta. So you started UrbanGeeks.com. And what were some of those early challenges that you experienced that were unexpected?
The initial challenge really was finances and resources. I mean, really.
So you had an idea, but actually getting the money and the finances behind
absolutely.
It were challenging.
Absolutely. I mean, I had an idea and it was really fueled by passion. So I just, you know, I was at the point in my career when I felt I wanted to make a transition and it just didn't feel right going back to being an employee. So I had this phenomenal idea to set up this brand and just went in feet first, you know, didn't have, you know, basically went in feet first self-funding.
Yes.
And so, yeah, really resources and finances was the initial hurdle.
Mm-hmm. So getting the finance in order. Mm-hmm. And then once you were able to secure that, you were able to get out there and start reaching people through your platform. And who was like Urban Geeks, the platform you designed, minority community business owners or wannabe entrepreneurs? Or talk to us more in detail about that.
It's really everyone. And when I say everyone, we have three really strong elements: business, science, and technology. So really, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're, you know, in the corporate field, you know, Urban Geeks would be for you. If you're a tech entrepreneur, you know, if you're into apps and gadgets and technology, Urban Geeks is also a phenomenal place to actually get good content as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that, you know, we wanted to do, because there are no other minority platforms really kind of looking at science in a very kind of innovative and creative way. Mm-hmm. We also wanted to make sure that we cover science as well.
Oh, that's very good. So for the listeners who may have just joined us, we're talking with Kunbi Tenoye. She's with UrbanGeeks.com. She is founder and CEO. And you talk about technology, and I see you are located in Atlanta Tech Village.
Absolutely.
That must be exciting in itself.
Oh, Atlanta Tech Village is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal ecosystem for listeners that don't know. Basically, Tech Village is in the heart of Buckhead. It's a co-working space and also co-working space and accelerator as well. And it's just such a great place to be, very much because of the community there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that has been a great platform for me. It's a great place to network, to meet people. They have lots of events, meetings. So, you know, it's just a really great ecosystem to be part of.
No doubt about it. There's always events going on down there. You can attend those regularly. And just if you want to go down and hang out at the coffee shop there in the lobby, you can start connecting with people who may be experiencing some of the same pains in entrepreneurship that you are in your business, for sure. So we love Atlanta Tech Village. They've been in the studio many times. We've even done remote broadcasts down there at some of their events. So we do enjoy that. So what's ahead for you in UrbanGeeks.com and 2016 and beyond?
Well, you know, the site's a year old and it has done tremendously well. And when I say I've done well, we've had revenue from advertising. We've done, you know, partnerships with 20th Century Fox, AT&T, Black Enterprise.
That's nice.
Our latest collaboration actually is with Atlanta Tech Village. We did a phenomenal competition, which basically for women and minorities to get a spot at Tech Village. So I think we've done really well, you know, considering, you know, on very kind of limited resources. Really, I just want this brand, and I say this and I'm not joking, I want this brand to be the next TechCrunch. I want this to be the next Mashable Wired. So I want Urban Geeks to be a go-to brand when it comes to business science and technology, and not just for minorities, for everyone. So really for me, it's just expanding the brand, making sure that we continue getting very sort of, you know, credible interviews.
Yes.
You know, one of the other, in terms of scaling it, we want to make sure we've got some kind of positioning in Silicon Valley as well, maybe getting a reporter on the ground there. So it's really just expanding the brand and just making sure that we continue producing quality content.
But what do you need more of? Do you need more staffing? Do you need more supporters and partners? I mean, how can you grow that brand?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we really need to continue doing is scaling the content. So, you know, when someone logs into Urban Geeks every day, they see new, you know, fresh, original stories. So that's really one of, you know, something that we really need to continue developing.
So you're looking for people to add to the content machine that you're creating over there.
Absolutely.
So in the field, reporters, you know, editors or editorials, if people want to write in opinion pieces, that kind of thing. Is that what you're looking for?
Absolutely. And one other thing I want to add, we also, Urban Geeks is a video centric site. So it's not just a print platform. My background is television.
Yes.
So I do, you know, do broadcast interviews.
Yes.
And edit them on site. So we also are looking for broadcasters as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. And I'm sure that people would love to join your kind of mission here. You are certainly passionate about it. I can tell we're on radio, but she's smiling every time she talks about Urban Geeks for sure, because it is helping and reaching so many people. So scaling it nationally, that's got to be a challenge as well. So you got to get out there and market. So how do you reach somebody who's in Silicon Valley or Seattle? Do you go out there yourself and just start meeting people? Or do you look for someone out there who can kind of resonate with you across the country?
I mean, one of the things that, you know, the great thing about now is with social media, with the telephone, we do so much remotely. So, you know, we do, even now we do cover stories that are outside Atlanta, but I just, you know, I'll get my reporter to do telephone interviews. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing now. But yes, I mean, at some point I would definitely want to, you know, looking to get correspondents in New York, you know, Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Those are everywhere in between.
Yeah. And Atlanta too.
And
Atlanta's the hub.
Oh right. My God. I mean, we've actually already got reporters in Atlanta, but
nice.
The next two markets are New York.
What about events coming up? Do you guys attend events, conferences, trade shows, expos, that kind of thing?
I mean, you absolutely. I mean, we just yesterday, actually, I went to an event at Flatiron City.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which was like a kind of a media event at Flatiron City. So yes, I'm kind of getting out there, networking as well. Talking about events, one of the things that we will do further down the line is that we're going to launch something called the Urban Geeks 100.
Okay.
Which essentially is to showcase women and minorities, you know, trailblazers in business, science and technology. Mm. And on the back of that, we're going to be doing a high profile event.
And then having awards and recognitions.
Absolutely.
For all those
Absolutely.
Who are doing good, hard
Absolutely.
Work out there in the community for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and what's so important about this, and this is what I kind of say about my platform, there's no one else that out there doing what we're doing. A lot of minority sites are very focused on entertainment, lifestyle, mm-hmm. you know, those types of issues. There's not really a minority platform out there doing technology
right.
or science or business.
Right. No, and we've been kicking around the idea of doing a concept show here on Business Radio X, a minority business report, where mm-hmm. we highlight those people doing good business from minority backgrounds and certainly, you know, making sure that the rest of the world knows about some of those challenges or highlights or experiences they're going through and our listeners and audience can really find information that. So we may have to explore that idea together off air for sure. So so in your off time around Atlanta, what do you like to do?
Well, I mean, let me be honest. So this last year, I haven't had much off time.
Okay.
It's been really fast the last year. But some of the things I like to do, I love swimming.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you need to unwind as an entrepreneur, as you know.
Yes.
Because it's
that work-life balance is so important. So you've got to find that time away from the iPhone, the computer, you know, the phone or what have you. So you like to go swimming.
I like to go swimming. I also like yoga as well.
That really helps too. I bet you with
phenomenal.
Your mental clarity
absolutely.
Helps you stay focused on the hard decisions you need to make as a business owner. Mm. And so do you practice yoga at home? In a quiet space, or you like to go to the group?
I like to go to a group. I actually do hot yoga,
Bikram
yoga, which is hardcore, but it's phenomenal.
So you really enjoy that. So, would you recommend that to other business leaders?
Oh my! I would really recommend. Now, this is my plug for Bikram yoga. I absolutely would recommend Bikram yoga, which is what's great about it. It doesn't just kind of get you in shape physically; it's also great internally as well.
Yes.
And it's a really good de-stressor because it's so high impact. It's 90 minutes in a hot room.
Yeah.
So yes. I would definitely recommend that.
Well, there you heard it, folks. You can find Kumbi out there doing some hot yoga or helping business owners at urbangeeks.com and technology in the science field and arena. So thank you so much for joining us. Tell our listeners how they can find you on social media or your website.
The thing that I need you listeners to do is to actually kind of get to the website, which is Urban Geeks, urban and geeks with a Z.com.
Yes.
And then also we have, you know, we're also on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Facebook is Urban Geeks, same spelling, and Instagram and Twitter is urban and then GKZ.com.
Yeah. And we'll have all those links posted up later on our website, AtlantaBusinessRadio.com, so you can link with Kumbi and her team at Urban Geeks there for sure. So thank you so much for joining us. Please come back and be a guest on the program real soon. We'd love to have you. All right, listeners, thank you so much for staying with us. Remind you, you can follow us at Business Radio X on Twitter and the show Atlanta Business Radio, Atlanta B-I-Z Radio on Twitter. All right, I'm proud to introduce this second guest here today, or reintroduce, I should say. We already said hello to Patrick.
Yeah.
Patrick Lynch, he is president of the Frontier Group, a human capital and management consulting firm that provides executive coaching, talent management, and outplacement placement right. solutions.
Three times fast.
Right. Yeah. Say that. So let's start with your background. Where are you from and then what brought you to the Frontier Group?
Well, I am from the great state of Michigan.
Nice.
So so everybody mistakes my southern accent, but actually I came from up north, but was a career marketer. I always talk about my story in consumer product marketing as I was involved with everything from soaps, lotions, the world's first carbonated bath tablet, office furniture, office paper, and Jell-O, barbecue sauce, and the list goes on.
Wow, but a wide variety of products.
Yeah, it was, but it's all directed at a consumer.
True.
And trying to understand what it is that is going to resonate with a consumer in terms of getting them to be interested in buying. And so that was kind of the common theme through all that. Then, like a lot of corporate careers, I kind of ended up at a point in time in my last job where I was, now I moved into more of a business development role, and I was responsible for 25% of the company, and I was operating it out of my home office here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Well, big companies do what big companies do, and I reached a point that they said, well, this position really needs to be at headquarters. And headquarters happened to be in Muscatine, Iowa. And
okay.
And nothing against Iowa. I mean, I really did.
It's kind of near Michigan. Yep. Kind of.
I really liked the people and would not have had anything negative about
right.
Iowa. But nevertheless, I was here. So then I was at that juncture.
You had roots here in Atlanta by that time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it was one of these that it really was complete roots, 20 years here in Atlanta. And so then I was at that kind of that pivot point. Where do I go with my career? And so I did a kind of a re-career pretty late in life and became president of the Frontier Group, mm-hmm. a consulting company in the whole area of human capital management. But it really resonated with me because one key thing was that you're connecting with an audience that we're a B2B company, so we work with human resource decision makers who are involved with the most important element of their business, which is their people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all what human capital management's all about. It really is that end-to-end management of all of the talent that is that the company has. And what I've seen is this is the golden age to be in this particular space because the 21st century really is the century of talent, you know, where it's when that's why it's human capital.
Yeah.
In the 20th century, you know, it was about, you know, automobiles and airplanes and you needed the physical capital really to succeed and mm-hmm. scale. Now you can start a business at Tech Village. Goodness, a couple hundred businesses that operate in that one building, and it's all human capital.
Right.
And the real key competitive differentiator for any business is going to be their people. And so that's where we get involved in that. What we do is we help them really find the best tools to develop their people. And it all starts from at the front end. We have partnerships with a variety of different assessment providers to help them really screen and select the best people possible. Mm-hmm. So who's going to be a good fit? Who's going to be the one that's going to match up with their culture? How do they, these people going to match up with benchmark key performers in these particular jobs? So then it costs a lot to go out and recruit people. You want to find the best mm-hmm. possible people so they stay the longest.
All right.
Then you have to get on and onboard them successfully. And we have programs in terms of helping them onboard because what happens is, you know, and I see this so often happen in my career. You go through the romance and you all of a sudden you get the honeymoon and now it's day one in the job and you're in this office with nothing in it and a couple manuals and a couple meetings that people will
right.
come and see you. And all of a sudden you don't, you know, the person, you know, in that first 90 days, first 6 months, they really don't hit their potential.
Right.
So that's where we start to work on, okay, what is a formalized way of doing things? Because what I see is the biggest challenge in human capital management, managing your people, is time and resources. It's not necessarily always the money. It's people are so busy. You know, organizations over the past 10 years flattened. You started getting people, you know, leaving the organizations right-sized, got people out of the organizations. Now they're trying to do so much with not that the resources like they had in the past. So trying to manage your people, it becomes a real challenge unto itself. And that's where we come in.
Right. Now, we hear that all the time here in the studio about how recruiting good talent, retaining good talent is some of the challenges that all businesses are facing these days. And that's where you can come in. But how does a business know that they need to reach out to you in the Frontier Group? When do they start realizing, and what's the writing on the wall they should see before they make that call to you?
Well, there's a number of ways. It's staying on as far as everything around I'll go for the front end. The front end is that all of a sudden, if you find that your people, that your retention rates in terms
dropping,
of a percentage of people with you are all of a sudden start climbing and you don't really know why. Well, that's, we'd love to have that conversation.
Okay.
So it's, you know, in my marketing speak, it's kind of one of those pain points that you talk to. We also get involved when it comes to executive coaching, where they really see that how are they building a pipeline in terms of leadership moving forward.
For the future.
And for the future, because you put so much resources into developing people, and the last thing you want is to have them go leave the company,
And no one on the bench waiting.
And no one on the bench waiting. Yeah. Or you look at your team and you say nobody's ready to be promoted, and you have to go outside to promote, and then that has a demoralizing effect on the company because,
certainly,
you know, here I was putting in all my time.
And waiting and grooming myself for that role, and they just gave it to someone else.
And then, so that's where we really start getting involved in this whole area of executive coaching in terms of how to build that leadership pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And what is important. And so it's an interesting methodology in that what you really do start with is this whole area about doing a 360 around an individual so that they can get multiple inputs in terms of from leaders, peers, and then subordinates in terms of, okay, here's kind of a full scale picture of kind of what I do well, what I need to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where we come in, is that we put out a methodology and a plan to help them get there.
Right. So you're part psychologist, part scientist, part human resources, part coach. I mean, all these little ingredients of each one of those come into what you do and your team and your organization there. And I see you have offices in Atlanta and Charlotte, but you're servicing clients all over the country. Is that right?
Yes. We get calls, you know, it's, and like anything where you just start to build a reputation and you get a referral base. So, yes, we have a coaching engagement in California that a tech company got purchased by an organization that I had relationship with here. And it was all around leadership development, running incredibly fast. And it was, how do we really get our leaders best equipped so that they can be ready for the challenges ahead.
So that's most businesses coming through word of mouth these days, or are you actively out there marketing your services?
I'm actively out there marketing. I was born and bred a marketer.
Right.
And so I'm out there doing shows like this.
Right.
but also, we have web presence.
Okay.
A lot of it also is a lot of content that we create.
When you say content, you're doing blogs, you're doing videos, you're doing what kind of content?
Well, a weekly blog, at least one per week on LinkedIn and off of our own website, so that we have contacts there. Try to do as far as ebooks and white papers, the frequency there is a little less. It's once a quarter.
And who is the content specifically designed for?
It is designed for all people within HR management.
Okay.
So anything from the C-suite to the HR business partner. And what we try to do is talk to things that are important to them and help them understand their people and do their job better. Yeah.
And that's what we do here at Business Radio X, is we have a targeted, engaged audience.
Right.
It's not, it's consumer content on demand, unless you find it when you want it and when you need it. But that's exactly how we're going about just getting the word out about good businesses like you and yourself at Frontier Group and how you're connecting with other businesses out there for sure. So do you find that the small organizations are experiencing the same problems as the larger corporations when it comes to finding the good talent and retaining that good talent?
Oh, absolutely. And it's that challenges across any business, you know, a company my size to Newell Rubbermaid, I mean, or any, or Coca-Cola. It's one, finding good people is going to be so critical because there's a lot of opportunity out there. And, you know, I had an interesting meeting with a woman that's that coaches towards millennials. And now you look at millennials, if you survey them, one of the key decision points for them is that they want to start their own business. That is really something that they have as a drive, and it's nothing personal to any particular organization, but they really are striving to be on their own. How do you create a motivational story to want them to belong to you? That's kind of where we
knowing that they're eventually going to go away.
Yes.
Or want to.
And then you just have a pipeline, though, and you have the ability to kind of keep the enterprise moving by always bringing in good people and being a magnet for that talent.
Do you find that companies are reluctant to change when it comes to adopting some of these new ways of thinking regarding millennials? Some of their needs and wants these days in the workspace are not what the seasoned career worker wanted or needed. And so what are those challenges that you see from your perspective between integrating the workforce between millennials and Gen X and before?
Sure. I think one of the big things is to get past the stereotype. You know, there's nothing that frosts somebody that is, you know, classified, quote unquote, a millennial than to have somebody like me start quoting all how we know them exactly.
Yeah.
It's that they're in this particular box. That is the biggest mistake. There are differences, you know, than when I was their age, granted, but they're not as significant as you would think. So, so it's like just kind of talking to them on their level. All this about the generation of everybody has a medal and all that.
Yes.
It gets you completely sideways in terms of really being able to be respectful and engage them as professionals. Because you got a generation here that's so technologically advanced. You know, just they're a lot more plugged in terms of social causes and wanting something that has meaning. And so take all that and then just kind of put all those elements together and say, okay, here it is in my organization. Here's what we can do that will connect with you.
But never before have I seen a group of people ever, the whole rest of the generations bend over backwards to help them and make them feel comfortable. We had a guest recently on the show who written a book about, you know, what you can do as a company to make your company more millennial friendly. And so it is something to think about. It's certainly happening out there. We want to make sure everybody's getting the right information and for sure. So sounds like you're doing great work with the Frontier Group. What's on the horizon for you and the organization in 2016 and beyond?
Well, what's on with us is that we just are all, you know, we just continue to try to do great work for our clients. You know, in terms of any kind of business practice, always looking in terms of strategic partnerships with other, you know, providers, whether there's new assessment tools that we really want to make sure our client companies know about. We get into a lot of kind of interesting different areas around like emotional intelligence consulting and everything, which is kind of an element of executive coaching where you start to really try to teach the professional in terms, okay, here is everything that in terms of your self-awareness, your empathy, how your actions have an impact on others. And we find that it becomes a key part of our executive coaching because especially the more you move up the ranks, it more often a career is derailed because of EQ factors than they are like hardcore business metrics. And I had to hear that about a dozen times because I still couldn't believe it because I'm your classic analytic thinking and it's, oh yeah, you didn't make your sales numbers, therefore that's why you got in trouble. And it's not. It's all those relationships that aren't met, the trust that breaks down, all these things that it becomes that whole EQ element. So that's really the areas that we're going to continue to develop.
Right. Sounds good. Yeah. And Atlanta, what do you like to do when you're off time around town here? What are some of the things you do take your mind off of, the human capital?
Well, you know, as far as hobby was tennis. Yeah. I played tennis an awful lot, but then I'll tell you what really takes up my time is two things. One is that I am engaged to be married.
Whoa, congratulations. So, all right. So when's the big day? Do you know?
It is May 14th.
So coming up soon.
Yes.
Very nice.
And I'm very blessed to be engaged to Kim Sherbert. So I'll say
right.
Hello.
Hello, Kim. Yes. Yes. Congratulations to you as well.
And then the second thing that really kind of hit with me is I got involved with a lot of nonprofit work. My tennis playing led me to Special Pops Tennis. It's a program for the adaptive needs community.
Mm-hmm.
It has 14 sites across Atlanta, and we serve 600 special needs athletes across the major area. Wonderful people, wonderful program. It's teaching them tennis, but it's also connecting the community with the special needs people. So if you see a bagger at Kroger, now you all of a sudden you have that empathy and relationship with them. So that I got involved with another great nonprofit called Year Up.
Okay,
you should have somebody from their organization here. They are a program that works with minority, at-risk, young adults in terms of helping them find meaningful career opportunities. And so it's a year program. 6 months is an intensive training where they teach them everything from IT skills to writing to presenting. Mm-hmm. And then they get them really, really great intern programs paid with companies like Asbury Automotive, Emory University, Coca-Cola, and so then they get 6 months there, and then they go and get reemployed. It's like a 95% employment rate after internships, and I got involved as a mentor and mentored two young people so far, and it's just wonderful when you really start to see just how well they do. And then, I had a spare moment here and there, and I got involved with Special Olympic basketball.
Okay.
And that became another thing, because my tennis involvement would take me 9 months of the year, and then basketball became 3 months. And it's the same thing. There's some people that, as far as families and athletes, that carry over from tennis, but a lot of it mm-hmm. is another new set of friends that I make. So, So yeah, it's for me that I get so much out of being involved in that. It's kind of when people ask me for a hobby, it's like kind of what I do.
Right, you just stay passionate about it. Well, thank you so much for doing what you do, not only with your Frontier Group, but also with all you're giving back to the nonprofits that you're involved with and helping the Atlanta community in that way.
Yeah, we certainly do.
Thank you for that, and good luck on your wedding coming up.
Thank you.
You got a big honeymoon planned or anything?
And I got that. I got
to
work on.
Okay, well, come back and report to us all once that all goes through. Remind our listeners how they can find out about you and the Frontier Group, please.
Yeah, we're at www.frontiergroupusa.com, and we have a page on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. So just reach out to us.
Looks good to me. Thank you so much, Patrick. Thanks. Please come back again. And thank you, listeners, for staying with us as we now introduce our doubleheader here, Linda Minnick and Sherry Wheat. They are representatives from Telesales, Inc. Let me tell you a little bit about Linda first. She is a student of sales and success process. She has studies with some of the world's greatest, includes Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, Bob Proctor, Wayne Dyer, and others. And she is the CEO of her own marketing company. And a little bit about Sherry. She is the founder of Telesales, and her inside sales team has opened the doors to hundreds of growth-oriented companies over the last 18 years. So Linda and Sherry, sounds like you guys have your own show with all the stuff you've accomplished through the years. But let's start with you, Linda.
All right.
Tell me a little bit about your background and what was it like hanging out with some of those great business leaders?
It's just phenomenal, when you get the opportunity to learn from masters like that.
Yes.
I've been in sales for 30 years. I started out selling something you have to go to a museum to find. It's called a typewriter.
Okay.
And, spent most of my time in outside sales, went into entrepreneurship about 15 years ago, had a marketing company. Then in about 2008, when the economy hit, had the opportunity to go back into corporate for a while, lasted about 2 years because entrepreneurship is where my soul is.
Is that right?
And I drove my sales manager crazy saying, why do you do things like this? I was a certified sales trainer for years, and I've always been in a position not only to control my own calendar mostly, which is why I got into sales. Like I first got into sales because I had two little boys and got tired of asking somebody if I could go spend time with my kids. Mm-hmm. So that's why I got into sales. But also, I had the opportunity to, you know, reach my own goals and all of that. So I really loved being an entrepreneur. Then when I left corporate, what really hit me at corporate was it was time to go ahead and help others do this.
Okay.
Because what I was doing in corporate, I worked for a PEO, an HR company, and we worked with a lot of small companies. And so it really, I really had the opportunity to see what small businesses were going through. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, while, you know, I'm sure you've interviewed a lot of people who have started their own business and all of a sudden they realize, oh my God, I have to sell something.
Yeah.
You know, I can handle all this, but, and so there's just no support in that area. Yeah. And so then that's why I decided to get into coaching, is to help people find who are walking that road to create their dream,
yeah,
find out ways. And so that's how I've gotten
and
where I am.
That's a fantastic journey for sure. And I know you're doing great work. Sounds like you're very passionate about what you're doing. Yeah. But sales is, in some circles, can be a dirty word.
It can.
And people want to, you know, kind of shy away from that. Yeah. But that's what how business gets done.
Oh, hey.
So how do you explain that to those folks that, look, I don't want to sell, but I know I got to. You know, how do they, what kind of mindset can you offer to them to make it more enjoyable?
Well, sales is really just having a conversation, communicating your enthusiasm for what you do to help solve the situation they have. Mm-hmm. And we all sell. I mean, I was talking to Patrick earlier. Our daughters know each other. I have a daughter who's 8 years older than the youngest. And when the youngest was two, she was teaching, the older one was teaching the younger one how to bat her eyelashes so she could convince dad on what to buy her. I mean, she was selling, teaching the 2-year-old how to sell.
That's human nature right there, right?
Yeah, but we all sell. So whether we're out selling products, trying to sell our products or services, or working with our employees or working with business partner, we have to communicate. So mm-hmm. it's just a matter of learning to communicate. And and with the small business owners and the entrepreneurs I work with, they have a passion. And if I can help them understand how to communicate their passion to their audience, everyone wins.
And so that's what you're doing over there at Telesales. Let's bring Sherry into the conversation. Sherry founded the organization 18 years ago. What was the story behind that?
I fell into it. I actually was a landscape architect, and I burned out in landscape architecture.
Very interesting.
I left my job not knowing what I was going to do, and I asked myself the question, well, what am I good at? And I was always on the phones as a landscape architect. So I thought, I'm just going to get back on the phones. Well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But give me a phone and give me somebody to call. And so through a series of synchronistic events and meetings, I ended up working for a physician who did medical legal consulting to attorneys around the country. And I would call on attorneys, and then I would send them a letter and a brochure, and they would send cases and money. And I became
good.
Top marketer. And I thought, you know, the entrepreneurial light went on. Small businesses need people on the phones talking to their markets.
Mm-hmm.
And so more synchronicity, I met a man who understood what I was trying to do. And he said, I know exactly what you're trying to do. He helped me start the business, and then business started rolling in. And even back then, we were combining broadcast faxing with gathering business intelligence information and turning that information over to our clients that then shared that information with their salespeople. So we've always supported sales in small businesses.
But you've had to evolve the business through the years as technology has changed, as the understanding of sales have changed. Yes. I mean, how do you stay up to date and current with what's going on out there in the industry?
Well, I don't worry about technology. I let somebody else worry about
that. That's a good way to go.
We are very basic in terms of what we do. We work in Excel and Word and the phone. And so we don't do a lot of CRM. Our clients give us lists that they want us to call on. They can download it back into those CRMs that take a lot of time to, you know, click through. We need to work really fast. When we're on the phones, we're generating 15 to 25 dials per hour. So we're in Excel.
Yeah.
That is the fastest and the easiest.
And just picking up the phone and calling those potential customers and educating them about your services doing, right?
That's right.
What about the people who are actually on the phones? How does that look? What type of individual do you look for to be those frontline people?
They're fabulous. And I don't look for them They look for me, they find me, and those are the ones I want working for me.
How do they find you?
Well, they get on the phones, they start doing their research, and very often they're seasoned women that have been in business, that understand business, that can talk business over the phone. They may have had their own business, they may work with other businesses like mine, but that's the model that we work with. And we're a virtual team. We've been a virtual team for 18 years.
You said seasoned women. Does that make, do they make the best telesales operatives?
For me, they do.
They do. Right. And why is that in your opinion?
They have skills. They know how to talk business. Very, very often we're talking to C-level decision makers. I'm a Vistage member. I saw that.
Yes.
And we've done calling for Vistage chairs. So we're talking to C-level decision makers. So they've got to be poised and interested and be able to ask the right questions mm-hmm. and get through, you know, schmooze with the executive assistant to get to the decision maker that we're getting through. And they just have that ability. So we give them information about why we're calling and what have you, but they've got to make that information their own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want. It's that differentiation that you're talking mm-hmm. about that is so important to what how we do for our clients and what we do for our clients.
And Linda, is that something you see as well and some of the same angles that Sherry has shared with us?
Yes. You know, it's important when we, you know, you talked about working with in sales, it's just a conversation. And so when you know how to ask the right question, when you know how to relate to the person you're talking to, it makes it easier. I mean, when you have people who are on the phone, my daughter did some college one of those alumni, your alumni, well, these kids are have a script in front of them. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody knows when you're reading a script.
Yep.
But when you have someone, when you're talking to C-level suites or even business owners, you want someone that can ask you the right questions. You want somebody that knows what, you know, where your passions are and where your problems are. So it makes it easier for a phone conversation.
Well, how do you then find, you know, the business hires you and then they start using some of your representatives? How much information do you need about that business and what their sales audience is?
Well, actually, as far as the business, you'll have to ask Sherry, because okay. I really don't work for Sherry.
Yeah, right. We're separate. That's a really good question. We become an extension of their business. So if we were doing a project for radio or Business Radio X, I would interview you mm-hmm. and I would get all the things we were trying to do and set the strategies and put a conversation guide together and submit that for you to approve.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that we're accurately representing your products and services. So we go through a creative setup and we're not selling your product and service. We're selling the appointment.
Correct.
So if they start asking us technical questions, it's like, great question. We are not the technical
just selling
experts.
A meeting.
Yes. Let me get Ryan on the phone with you. When's the best time for him to talk to you? So we, you know, it's like, there's a certain amount we want to know and we want to know what our goals are and certain facts and we want to ask the right questions, but we don't want to act as though we know everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's your job.
Right. And as Business Radio X, some of our goals for 2016 to expand to more studios around the Southeast and beyond. One of the ways we've gone about and doing that already is just pick up the phone and call businesses in those areas we want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a conversation and say, hey, we're coming to your town. Would you like to be featured on the show?
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting because whether you're working with a telemarketing or you're doing your own sales, so many people are afraid to pick up the phone. Oh, I'll just text them. I'll just send them an email.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they think that's going
to
work.
Well, that goes back to some of the millennial talk that they don't want to be what we understand it talked to on the phone. They'd rather text or email. But you're saying that it's still best practices to pick up the phone and call someone.
Well, if you're trying to sell a product, you need to connect with the person because that email is not going to buy from you. The person is going to buy. And I would like to say that if you ask the millennials, they have the same buying criteria as anyone else. I have some millennials in my family, and there are times I can't get them off the phone, you know, so they like, but it's learning to use it. It's getting over the fear factor to use it. And it also helps you make that connection because it's a person that's going to buy. It's not an email that's going to buy.
That's true. But one of the worst things that happens is that phone call, that telemarketing sale. People really detest that. If they don't like sales, they truly don't like telemarketing sales when you get that call in the middle of dinner. But, you know, people are still actively out there doing that.
Right. Yes, but that's more business to consumer. That's not business to business, right, which has always been our focus. I totally agree with you on that. It's rude and it's an interruption at the wrong time of the day. That's why we've never done it.
So B2B, though, is still a better place for business hour phone calls, pick up the phone and, you know, and I want to, you know, work together.
I don't think it's ever going to go away. They've been trying to get rid of us for years. Cold calling is dead, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Well, now they're calling us inside sales.
Inside sales. I know. Outbound sales, outbound marketing, inside sales. These are all buzzwords that we've recently heard here in the studio.
Right. And you know, I think with what's going on with digital and all of the lead generation that's going on there is fabulous. But I'm reading some of these top marketers and they're saying, we have to pick up the damn phone. So we're happy to do that over here, right?
Right.
We'll pick up the damn phone anytime.
Yeah, they'll pick up the phone for you and begin to cultivate business for you and such. So, but 18 years later, after starting the business, where do you see the business going in 2016 and beyond?
Well, I've been challenged by some of my Vistage members to really focus on what my passion is associated. So I'm upgrading telesales. We've worked in across the board in terms of businesses. But I've got, as a landscape architect, my landscape architect is going, remember me.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, remember me. So I'm very interested in focusing on businesses that are passionate for me. So I love the urban agriculture. I happen to have a brother with who's disabled, and I'm talking to a group in the autism world. You know, it's they need our kind of support as well. So I'm gonna do both. Mm-hmm. I tend to do both, but I'm gonna focus on more of the solutions, technical solutions that are solving environmental issues and people issues. Mm-hmm. Those are great so passions for me.
Following another passion path of yours.
Yes.
As you have helped each other, sales over the years now.
Yes.
So we look forward to more great things from you in 2016 and telesales. And Linda, for you, what's on the horizon?
Well, I'm doing more writing. I have a couple of co-authored a couple of books. But one of the things that I've, like Sherry and I were kicking this off, one of the things that I'm doing is coming up with more support and programs for the entrepreneur and the salesman. Along with the coaching part, I am a psyche facilitator, and that helps change subconscious thoughts. So I'm developing programs that will help support salespeople and businesses, not only as far as how to teach them how to sell, but also recognizing what thoughts are keeping you from going making that call, or what thought is stopping you from what. And so it's a little extra. And I'm real excited about it.
Yeah. And so you're co-authoring another book, you said.
Well, I've got two coming out, and I think my book's coming out soon. I just have to figure out if it's going to be one of those take it to the beach and write it a real business book. So,
well, that was one of my questions. It was, what's that book writing process for you like?
You know, right now it's, I do a lot of blogging. I do a lot of, so right now being a co-author is fine because I get a topic and I can, you know, write a chapter and something. But it's putting my passion to words. And it usually just, you know, hits me. It's like, okay, now's the time. One of the articles I'm getting ready to, while we were doing the research for our workshop, one of the articles that came to me was, the new gatekeeper is the delete key. You know, the delete key is a new gatekeeper. Right. I mean, so it's putting these together and putting it in a book and getting it out there.
And we feature many authors here on our network all the time. And we love to ask that question. As it is, the writing process is different for everyone.
Yeah.
But I think there's a book in all of us somewhere.
Oh, I do too.
I think everybody has a book in them. It's just a matter of getting them out. I'm easier at speaking. So if you just put a microphone on and just say record, there's my book. Now you got to translate it.
Yes.
And I could tell stories or just do whatever. So maybe one day we'll put the best of Ryan and Business Radio X together.
Well, and that's kind of how I am. People will ask me to get up and speak. And it's like, if you put a microphone in my hand, you're really in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I don't stop.
And that's where my writing comes. I wish I could control it. I wish I could say, okay, it's 8 a.m. Let's write for an hour. It doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't. So let's remind our listeners before we get out, Linda, how they can find out information about you and your services.
Well, right now we'd like to remind them to come to the Sales Success Workshop, and they can find out information on that is at salessuccess2016.com, and it's going to be this Friday, and we'd love for them to come out. And other than that, you can find me at lindaminnick.com.
And where is it going to be this Friday?
It's going to be at the GSU Alpharetta campus.
Okay.
The SBDC is partnering with us, and we'd love for them to join. We do take walk-ins, but you can put your reservation in through the link there.
Yeah, we definitely sign up, and there's probably going to be more events to come after this
There is.
So stay tuned for more, ladies and gentlemen, for sure.
Please.
All right. And Sherry, tell our listeners how they can find out information about telesales.
They can find us at Telesales Atlanta, and that's both words spelled out, at telesalesatlanta.com.
All right. Very good. We look forward to more great things from you. Please come back and be a guest. We'd love to feature you and all the things you're passionate about here on Atlanta
much.
Business Radio one more time. So thank you again. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in and joining us. If your company is out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the website at businessradiox.com and pitch us your story. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.